Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name alone is glorified. We are going on our teaching that we have titled Ecclesia. This is part 3. And we've said Ecclesia is the called out ones, where we get the word church. We've also said, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have also said that Jesus is interested in family. Praise God. And that he's interested in family. We saw from Ephesians 2, we read from verse 18, that we are now members, fellow citizens of the household of God. We are members. Praise the Lord. Fellow citizens of the household of God. So we realize that God is a family God. God is interested in what? Family. Amen. Praise God is interested in what? Family. So, for example, that's why we address God as Father. Amen. We address God as what? Father. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Father. So the best parenting hack is in looking at your father. Praise God. When you see your father, you know how to father. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you think God's way is not good enough, let's look at how it turned out. Because God has been your father. Amen. 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 But you see, the thing about it is that one thing you must remember, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, God is father, not taskmaster. Amen. Not dictator. Father. With fatherhood comes responsibility. That's why when it was time for him to rescue you from death, he came himself. Amen. That is why God is committed to you. You see, a lot of people hear the gospel backwards. When we say God loves you and it has nothing to do with what you have done, it is just displaying his love and his fatherhood nature. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. That's what fathers do. When you hear, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that is what fathers do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is Father to us. When we say he's Father to us, we mean that he loves us enough, he sets us up in such a way that whatever it is that he has set up is the best for us. And we have said so far that what he set up for us is the church. Praise God. Church, praise God. So we have Jesus, who is God that became a man. He set up his church. Praise the Lord. And in his church, we have brethren. Who do we have in church? Brethren. We see that in Hebrews 2 verse 10. He says, the one that sanctified and the one that has been sanctified are of one. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Who are we to God? We are his children. Who are we to one another? We are brothers. Praise the Lord. That's all that we have said so far. Praise the Lord. And we said that when it comes to our fraternity, one of the things we must understand is that God puts everyone in a local church. And when you are in a local church, everyone is to supply. Praise God. Church, praise God. Everyone is to supply. Us all supplying gets the whole body well fed. We've said that so far. We have now said so far that one of the things that ensures that we do not operate the way we operate is that we are not of one mind where there is division. Amen. Did you hear all of these things I said so far? That there be no division, no strife amongst you. So we see from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, we see Paul admonishing the Corinth church. He says, I want to beg you, I beseech you, brethren, right, that there be no divisions amongst you. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. He says, I beseech you, brethren, that there be no what? Divisions amongst you. Amen. He now tells us, he tells us in the next verse that I was told by those in the household of who? Chloe. In the household of who? Are you together with me? Okay, I think people want me to open the Bible because I'm reading it from my head, so people are not following me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are we there now? Are we in verse 10? He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and there be no division. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. There be no division amongst you. Look at verse 11. For it had been declared unto me by those in the house of Chloe. So we said that amongst the saints, we must be a people, well, that we are interested in the life of the other person. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So Chloe realized that there were factions in church. And what did Chloe do in her household? They went to talk, they wrote a letter to Paul. Amen. Church, amen. We said that because if the division continued, will the will of God progress in that local church? It praised the Lord. So what did they do? She ensured that division did not continue. Praise the Lord. And you see, the good thing about the book of Corinthians is that it gets practical. Amen. You see it right there. What was the issue? Somebody said, I am of Paul. And another one said, I am of Apollos. Another one said, I am of Peter. Amen. So you see the problem? Nowadays, people say, listen to one person. But the Corinthian church were listening to different people. But the problem was not that they were listening to different people. The problem was that they were creating a sect out of those they were listening to. Meaning that when Paul is preaching, some people will be happy. Amen? Let's be honest. How many people have favorite preachers? No, forget about it. It doesn't have to be me. How many people have favorite preachers? You have a favorite preacher. There is no problem in it. The problem is, let me tell you the problem. The problem is, For example, there are people that love the way that I minister. They are seated here. They love the way that I minister. That is okay. Do you know where there's a problem? When Deacon Sodiq is ministering and you switch off. Amen? Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen? Is this the son of Paul? And that's how they push people. Yeah. Right on, pastor! Right? Or it could be Deacon Sodiq. Or it could be Miss B. It could be anybody. He says, it's not a problem that you just like the way that they minister. But the point is, wherewith you are building a camp and you are not listening, when the other person is coming to minister, you switch off. He says, that's carnality. Amen. And church people can fall into that. Why? Because we are human beings. Are you hearing? So how did Paul sort the matter out? Number one, it was a matter. Meaning that matters happen around believers. Amen. 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 Do matters happen around believers? Yes. Do issues happen in church? Yes. Should we cover issues that happen in church? Yes. In this context, no. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Church, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So when issues happen in the church that is a public issue, it should be dealt with. And like I said to you, remember that you are the supernatural of God. Notice that God did not talk to Paul and tell Paul that there is fighting. Some people like you, some people like Peter, some people like Apollos. God uses men. You need to understand this. Listen, do you know this is the same thing Jesus too taught in the breaking of bread? Did you notice that God did not tell Jesus? Let's look at them as independent personality. Do you know God did not tell Jesus that there was somebody with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Amen. Who knew that there was 5 loaves and 2 fishes? One of the disciples. Amen. This is the supernatural of God. The supernatural of God is saints. I always tell those who are my leaders, I always tell them, I must not pick something by word of knowledge concerning you that you should have told me that you didn't. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Jesus wanted to divide 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but let's put it this way, he didn't even know that there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was Andrew
It was one of the disciples that gave him the information that he now used. My point is, God uses men to get his will done. And we are saying that you are that man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, the example is, Chloe is telling us now that there is an issue in church. How did he deal with it? He didn't throw it under the carpet. He told them, guys, let me tell you something. I am a minister of the gospel. Peter is a minister of the gospel. Paul, a minister of the gospel. Apollos, a minister of the gospel. He says, forget about everything that you people are doing. We all will stand before God. And we are going to actually get a reward for what we have done. He now says, forget about my oratory or Paul's oratory or Peter's oratory. He says, I plant. Apollos waters. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. But God gives the increase. He's trying to tell them that what was causing the division does not need to cause the division, because the ministers are to be working together for the blessing of the brethren. Amen. Amen. So, for example, when I say something, I teach you about supply. Deacon Tosin. And say, happy birthday, Deacon Tosin. Say, happy birthday, Deacon Tosin. Yeah. We need to let people know that we love our deacons.
Yes.
Say, we love you, Deacon Tosin.
We love you, Deacon
Tosin. And those that are editing, don't edit this out. It's part of the message. Love. Amen. So, the point is, when I plant, I come and I teach you about supply. When the Kintosi is ministering, he takes it further. He waters. Amen. The Bible says God gives an increase in your heart. That's how we walk. That's why God, Paul now says, listen, all things are yours. Peter, Paul, Apollos is for you. There is no need to fight about it. Why am I saying this? I'm saying to you that in the Bible, there were issues in a church. They didn't cover it up. They discussed it. They trashed it out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why? The church is a family. Hallelujah. Let's take it one step further. When there is a family, there must be structure. Wherever there is no structure, there will be chaos. Praise God. If your life is not structured, there will be chaos. Everything in your life cannot be spontaneous. Praise God. Church, praise God. Everything cannot be spontaneous. There must be structure around a life that will grow. There is a time you pray, a time to read, a time to this, a time to that. There's a time I do this, a time I go out to do this. There must be structure to your life. So, why Jesus shows us structure. Amen. Amen. Did you notice that Jesus appointed 12 people as disciples? And then appointed 70. He didn't say, I'm God. There has to be structure if there will be progress. There has to be structure if there will be increase. Praise the Lord. So, in the family, there, in God, there is a family. The family is called local church. And in the local church, there is a structure. Praise the Lord. And we have people in the local church who will call elders. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Church elders. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Who are elders? 1 Peter 5. I want you to be there. 1 Peter 5. We are looking at our family. 1 Peter 5. Are you in verse 1? The elders which are amongst you I exalt, who am also an elder. So amongst elders, will there be an elder exalting? Amen. Right? You see, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So elders are not people that emerged yesterday. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Amen. And that is why in this generation, a lot of people struggle, because they just want to emerge. Did you notice? I'm saying a lot of things today because I want to speak much more by inspiration. Did you notice that Moses had somebody called Joshua? Did you know how many years Joshua was with Moses? 40. Amen.
Amen.
He was learning under who? Moses.
Learning the ropes under who? Moses. So when it was time to lead, you know, people always think that selecting leaders is supernatural. It is. It is supernatural in the fact that we follow the divine order. Who should have been the leader to take over from Moses? The person, listen, because how does God ordinate? God ordinates through service. Amen. Church, that is the structure of God. That is what? The structure of God. Elijah, Elisha. What did they call Elisha? The man that poured water on the hands of Elijah. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
It's not nobody should be embarrassed when babies cry. It's our joy. The Bible says in the place where babies cry, there's rejoicing. It means that people there are impregnating one another. You get my point? And they're having children. Amen. One of the causes, one of the ways that we know a curse is on ground, the Bible says the land shall be desolate. But are you getting it? So when you hear a baby cry, you say, glory, say, glory. There's no way that Victoria will not like me. I use a scripture to just, praise God. All right. Notice Moses and Joshua. There's a structure. You don't have to be anything. You just have to learn how to follow the order of God. Did you notice that Joshua would later lead the children of Israel? You would realize that, see the order of God. The order of God is that in serving, you get better and wiser. Why? You are able to supply, one. You are able to observe how things are done, two. You are able to learn from the mistakes that happen, three. Amen.
Amen.
This is why leaders don't just emerge in the will. I'm not talking about today's drama. Leaders don't just emerge. Leaders go through training. It is the structure of God. Meaning that if we say the next set of deacons in this church is brother this and this, nobody should say, yay. Who? Amen. How? Listen, it's structure. When they would ordain the first set of deacons in the local church, what did they say? Go and look for amongst you. Go for look for among. Now, these were a group of 5,000 people. Go and look for amongst you. How many people? He says, go and look for amongst you a good number, 7 people, right, who are full of the Holy Ghost, who are people of wisdom, amen, and let them attend to the matter. Praise the Lord. When they were going to pick, I'm telling you that there is something called supernatural technicalities. How God does things is order. When they were going to pick the other apostle after Judas Iscariot bailed out on the vision, what did they say? Go, let us speak from amongst us. Somebody who has been following with Jesus from the beginning when he started until the time he was taken off. And they were able to choose 2. Amen.
Amen.
The order of God. What is the order of God in the family of God? The order of God is that they are first leaders. Leaders then train others. Who in training, they learn and become leaders later. Praise God. Church, praise God. Praise God. You would notice that, listen, we are sharing about supernatural family. You will notice that when Moses wanted to go into the land of Canaan, he said, pick people from amongst you, one of your elders, one elder each from amongst you, to go to the land of Canaan and go and investigate the land. They went to investigate the land. When they came back, they gave a public speech. When they gave the public speech, the Bible says after the 10 of them had spoken unbelief, the Bible says the whole camp was downcast. What did Joshua learn from that story? Next time, Joshua becomes the leader. Are you hearing me? He sends the people out to go and scout. When they will come and talk, they didn't talk to everybody. They went to talk to only Joshua. That kind of wisdom, you learn it on the job. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm saying to you, I'm talking about supernatural order. No, I'm saying the order of God is that it starts with an elder. Elder raising people. This, what is the job of an elder? 1 Peter 5 verse 1. The elders which are amongst you I exalt, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. What do elders do? Is in verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among. What is the primary responsibility of an elder? So the attention of the elder is on the people. How? In feeding them. Praise God. What the word of God cannot do in the life of a man, nothing can. I'll say that again. What prioritize the word of God? What the word of God cannot do in the life of a man, nothing can. Amen. The word of God is the principal tool to building lives. Amen. The word of God is the principal tool. So that is why the minister of the gospel will be big on the words. So as ministers here, as believers here, one of the things that you will be doing as somebody who is a fellow laborer in this ministry is to be big on the word. Praise God. You big on notes, big on writing, big on listening, big on studying. Because the number one thing we do is that we trade the word. Amen. Amen. So we trade the word. So you can call a minister an investment banker. He takes the word and he throws it into the hearts of men, hoping for a harvest. Praise God. Church, praise God. So we feed on the word. Let me tell you, you must see how powerful the word of God is. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because if you don't see how powerful the word of God is, you will think that, okay, it's one of those things that we just do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Say, I'm big on the word. Come on, I am big on the word. Look at verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. Even if you meet a Jew today, what he's looking for is a couple of signs to show to know the Messiah. The Greeks, they seek wisdom. But we preach what? What do we preach? Hey, it's in verse 23. But we preach. Where is the power? The message of Christ. It says, unto the Jew a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are church, unto them which are called, both Greeks and Jews, Christ is the and the, let's say it again, Christ is the and the, Christ is the, that's the power. That's what changes men. So when I feed on the word of God, I'm feeding on God's raw power. Amen. When the word of God, I'm feeding on the word of God as it pertains to Christ, I am feeding on God's power. When I am teaching, like what am I doing now? I'm teaching the word of God. If you want that to be very, very biblical, I am teaching on power. Because the gospel is the power of God. Amen. It is the ability of God to save. It is the, that's Romans 1, 17. It is the, 16 and 17. It is the ability of God to change the life of a man. But you must first see the word of God as the word of God is power. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. The word of God is what? It's power. You must see it as so. That is why we come here every time. We have meetings every time. We are training the word. Because we see the word has the ability to change a man. Amen. Amen. You know, amen. You know, yes, last week, what really got me in the testimony of Sister Temi was the fact that, you know, we had been sowing the word. We had been sowing the word for over 2 years, sowing the word. And it almost would look like nothing was happening. But hey, the word of God is power. The word of God is power. Yeah. The word of God is power. You must see it as so. So the most important thing a minister does, an elder does, is that the elder feeds. So if you are learning well, you will be. How did Joshua learn prayer? He learned prayer by following Moses to the mountain to pray. Amen. Church, I'm trying to show you that the local church is, the spiritual mechanics of it is clear. Joshua will go to pray. Or rather, Moses will go to pray. Moses will go to pray for how many days? Sometimes 40 days. Who was at the base of the mountain praying? Only one person. Oh, yeah, yeah. How many people? One. Only one. Then they now say, who is going to take over from Joshua? We say we should pray. No. We know. Amen. Church, amen. Why? The point is, the Bible shows us the order in God. The order in the local church. Amen. Church, amen. You see, Joshua will be there praying. In Joshua there praying, he learns prayer. He is able to pray. Praise the Lord. In Joshua, and that's what I'm saying to you, while we are talking about the local church family, we are talking about how God deals. So who is the elder? The elder is an example. The reason he is an example is so that you can find the example. Amen. Church, amen. So the elder will be one with the word. So the life of the elder is a message to you. Praise the Lord. He is with the word. You will be with the word. That is why we cannot blame a people who have no elder they can observe. Because the order in God is that men need somebody to look at. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Men need, how will I know that praying for 6 hours is possible? I see someone pray it. How do I know that somebody can speak in tongues and interpret? I've seen Pastor Dio do it. How do I know that I can get somebody out of the wheelchair? How do I know that I should evangelize? Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So the elder in the local church, and this is the reason for honor. The reason for honor is not because of the minister, is that your heart is open to learn. Your heart is open to receive. It is the minister you honor that you receive from. That is why honor is important in God. Not that God has a problem. If you don't honor God's word, will it mean anything to you? If you don't honor the minister, when he's speaking, it will mean nothing to you. So it cannot impact on your heart. Honor is not about the minister being egocentric. Honor is about your heart being able to receive. Why? Because the person in front of you is a minister to train you. Amen. So someone said, God didn't speak to me today. Was your pastor in church? Did he come early? He spoke to you on punctuality. Did he pray before the service? He has spoken to you on prayer. Is he reading from a Bible and teaching you the word of God? He's spoken to you on diligence with the word. You know, sometimes I'm teaching, I go into the Greek and Hebrew. Before now, maybe before I started preaching the gospel, maybe 20 years ago, I didn't know a word of Greek or Hebrew. Amen. But because I needed the Greek, the deeper words to be able to know what the writer originally meant, we do all of those things. Why? So that you know how to go about it. Praise God. I am saying the local church is supernatural, but the supernatural is clearly explained. Amen. So I've said in the local church, we have elders. Who are these elders? They are representatives of God. Praise God. Their assignment is to minister, number one, the word. That you might be, or you might have, something to look at so you know what to do. Amen. Look at it. So, look at what he says to them. So, the minister is an example. That is why a minister or an elder is being trained long enough. He knows that he cannot say, I can live anyhow with my life. Why? He knows that lives are affected to his behavior. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. So leadership is not just, oh, you know, some people like this. You know, so I was somewhere. They said, let's use Brasodi because we cannot use Dikintos, it's his birthday. So let's offer Brasodi as the example today. You know, imagine, Brother Sadiq was our brother. We all high five together. But there was something inside Brother Sadiq that he has always loved this title of deacon. We didn't know. We now ordained him deacon. We just realized that his steps has changed. His talking has changed. So one day, a normal believer, Sister Buki just said, "Hello, Sadiq." And he just says, "Who are you talking to? Do you know who I am? How can you?" You say, "Pastor Daya, no. I am saying to you that the essence of spiritual leadership is to serve, not a title. You know, do you know why? That if you are quickly ordained, it's a problem for you. Because those things, working with the minister, should have burnt it out of you. That the day they call you for to be ordained, you'll be crying. Everybody's saying congratulations, you'll be like, ha! Ordained with who, Pastor Dio, that can just say, hello, how you doing? Let's do 12 hours. Say, Pastor, who died? Nothing. It's the Kintosin's birthday. Let's just have fun. 12 hours. Right? We study God's word and we are doing God's word. We are learning God's word together. 6 hours. Yeah? What is the point? The point there is, you are trained long enough in church, because when you are now an elder, you become an example to others. How did bad examples emerge in church? Bad examples emerge in church most of the times. Listen, please. Bad examples emerge in church most of the times because we don't spend time to ensure that people have observed the leader long enough to replicate. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Look at 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. I'm talking about the local church. God's order. God's order is supernatural, but supernatural is explained. Are you in 1 Peter, please? Are you in verse 2 now? 1 Peter 5, 2. Are you there? I'm there. Look at it. Says, feed the flock of God which is amongst you. There is the how. Taking the oversight. Not by constraint, but willingly. Amen. So the minister is not somebody. Listen, the minister is not somebody who you all know that is looking like, I'm doing all of you a favor. Right? I can decide not to be a pastor tomorrow. Amen. Amen. He's doing it. He sees it as a call of God. You can find passion, faithfulness in what he's doing. Why? It is so that passion, faithfulness is bet where? Is bet where? In you. That's the point. How does God multiply? God multiplies by people observing people. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. It says, feed the flock of God which is amongst you, taking oversight, therefore, not by constraint or willing, not for futile lucre. What is futile lucre? It is not for money's sake. So the minister has been told, please listen to me, I'm saying a lot of things here, but it looks like I'm talking about the minister. Who am I really talking about? The saints. He says, you are to leave them, not with greedy mind. You know, there are some people who good things will happen for. They cannot tell the pastor. Let me give you an example. You know, imagine the Kintosi does a business deal and he gets $5 million from that business deal. You know, if he's in some other places, you know, he cannot share it. Because the moment he shares it with pastor is already looking at it. Pastor will now be monitoring his offering every week. You'll now be telling the wife. And how much did he give? He gave 10 pounds. Ha! How can he? This man. Every small thing that the church has a burden. Hello, Deacon Tosin. How are you? I'm just greeting you. The fan in church is not working. Why? Or he's always expectant. You went to the house to go and do naming. They said, thank you for coming. And they said, come and be going. You just had 5 minutes. Said, come and bless you. They pack rice. They pack five alive for you.
We were really, really blessed by administration. You know, a minister is meant to say thank you and go. Not say, you, hey, you call the wife, hey, what are we not going to see? I was the one that prayed. He had a breakthrough. $5 million, I got rice. And I'm five alive. Hey, I am saying to you, you must understand that what you do, you are not expecting money, or you are not doing it because of a reward. Why? So that they can see and they would arise and they would do ministry and they are not looking for a reward. You are not liking this? They are not looking for a reward. How did we get to the point now where we get to the place where which it looks like everybody, like people in church are now saying they want to be paid? Listen carefully. People in church are now having structure. Amen. In the kind of structure you want, you say you're a minister, or you say you're a minister, maybe in songs or something, and then you want to minister, and before you can go somewhere, they say, before I can come, give me a down payment of 10 million. Where did it come from? It came from ministers. You only replicate what you see. If you, listen, if you are in a place where which selflessness is the key, and you are not hearing another message, amen. Because in the world today, there are many voices. If you are in a place where selflessness is key, you will not become a businessman in the house of God. Where did it come from? It came from ministers. And when we, it's just that the issue with saints is that they go the extra mile. Where the minister stops, they take it a step further. Amen. That is why the Bible will say ministers, because the Bible knows the minister is the one that has influence to replicate the move of God, the power of God in a place. So if you have a covetous minister and he's leading five people, what will he birth? Five covetous people. Amen. Why? Man is a beam of influence. Even when they don't try. That is why you are careful around associations. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. It will not. This is why evil will look normal. Are you getting what I'm saying? It will look normal because it was promoted from the elders. Hallelujah. That's why he says, be an example. The message today is that in the local church, in the supernatural family, we have structure. The structure starts from the elder, who you are to elders, who you are to look at to know how to do. They make the word of God plain that you can live it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. Neither, 1 Peter 5:3. Neither has been Lord. Are you in verse 3? Neither has been. I want you to be there. Neither has been. When God wants to instruct the saints, who does he instruct? Hey, who does he instruct? He instructs the elders because it will flow down to the saints if they are hearing the same thing. That is why in the book of Revelation, when God wanted to speak to the church in Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, who did he write to? He says, write to the angel, the minister, the pastor of the church in Sardis. Because if I can get to the pastor, I am able to get to the saints. Praise God. Church, praise God. That is why I'm more excited when I find ministers of the gospel attend some of our conferences. Why? I know the impact will be multiplied. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The impact will be multiplied wherever it is that they go to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 3. Neither has been lords over God's heritage. Do you know what a lord is? Do you know what a lord is? Please, you cannot not know what a lord is. Do you know what a lord is? What is a lord? A master? You know, because there's a way that master, what else? A ruler. He says that is not the minister. The minister is not your master. Who said it?
Come on, who said it? You're not like, who said it? He's not your master. He's your example that you honor. Amen. In fact, the Bible says you render double honor. You treat them reverentially because of the state of your heart. The heart can, there's a way the heart will slant around a person that you are not able to pick from that person anymore. God knows this because of the way man is. So the Bible will say, render double honor to them that labor in the world. If there is a minister that is laboring over you, you honor him so that your heart can get what he's doing. Meaning that when he speaks, because honor is there, it will hit your heart and produce fruits. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? You getting the point? Yeah. In fact, honor, power works around honor. Power. It's just being aware. Because God needs your mind. But the point we are trying to emphasize today is neither being lords. So, you know, people have thought. So, who is the example of this? Jesus. He was not a lord. That is why God will give you instructions. He will not force you. Are you hearing? Yes. It is honor. That's why the Bible says, honor the Lord. Because if you don't honor the Lord, you will treat his word loosely. And he will not come and beat you. So you can be out of God's will. And nothing major will happen. A lot of people have taught theology that makes you fear God. If you don't do something that God says you should do, God will do something to you. It is not consistently accurate. Amen? Listen. It tells us there that we are to lead, not as lords. How are we to lead? Listen, and that is why the local church is supernatural. A lot of things are being said, though not said. Look at it. He said, because the way you lead in the local church is by example. Amen. Church, amen. Look at it. You know, and that's why I always tell people, over the years, this has been my consistent style by the grace of God. It's by example. Meaning that if you don't grow, you were undiscerning. Amen. We'll laugh around it. We'll instruct around it. But you'll be instructed. There will be an example of prayer. Example of evangelism. Example of giving. I always tell people that in the local church, we are not afraid to talk about the things that we do. Because it's not for pride. It's for the example. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Right? A particular lady was in the local church many years ago. This one. And we realized that she'll come to church with her two kids. It was winter. We just had a conversation with her. What's going on? Can you drive? Can you drive? The next time she came to church, we said, come with us on a journey. And we went to get the person a car. Amen. Amen. Is that... Why am I saying it to you now? It's an example. So we don't say things to brag. It's not, we don't put it on anywhere. It is because, but what am I telling you? It's an example. So the lady, I said, come into the car. As to myself and Miss B, I think I was driving. Miss B, you know, has the video. I'm the only one that has seen it. The lady, when we got there and handed out the car, she was crying. But why am I sharing it with you? We are examples of giving. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Meaning, if you understand, see, even the elders here. The elders here, people stand up and say, you know what, this, I will do. People always say, you know, you must be able to talk about the elders around in the local church that give, in a spiritual church. Not that I say, really, I want pastor to talk about me next week. Let me give £1,000. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about telling you about examples. Examples of saints is in scripture. The Bible says there is in 1 Corinthians 16, the Bible talks in verse 15 about the household of Stephanas who addicted themselves to the work of ministry. In Romans 16, tell us about the Phoebe, the succorer. So I can tell you about Deacon Tosi, who since he has been around for the last 6 years, has been a major partner with what we do here. I just don't know, you're trying to blow his trumpet. You learn, because he's an elder. Stingy elders reproduce stingy brethren. Praise God.
It's like you're not liking this message. Maybe we should just round off. Amen. I am saying the supernatural of God is that is why you come around. If you don't come around, you will not see what's happening. Amen. People are here giving their sweat and their blood in time. I can talk about a Dickin Diola who spent nights and days ensuring that the account of the local church balances. The reason we are talking about it, that these ones are leaders, is so that you can understand that leadership is labor. So you find a place to labor. That is the plan in God. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. It says in verse 3, neither has been lords over God's heritage. But what? But being ensamples to the flock. How does behavior get passed in God's house? Tell me. How do I affect another person? I am an example. From being an example, Ayola is an example. Ayola now should understand that if she learned it from me, please let her help me feel the next one. Others will learn from her. So you know that you may be someone that in your room, when you do your morning prayer, you pray like this in the morning when you are retish tobra ingle eco. And because you are used to praying, you can pray like that for 2 hours. Rish teba hastu keke. Yeah, you know you are talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, that. But when you are amongst the saints, you know that there is fervency that can be copied from you. Amen. Then how do you pray there? That's not what you are saying. Why? Other people will not, you now have silent whispers, global ministry. Everybody in the church is praying like this. Then you now have the Brother Toby here. Brethren, pray. Brethren, pray. No. Why? Sister Ayola has sowed a seed of silent whispers. Are you here? And listen, that is why you are important. Yeah. I am still talking about Vroastatius. Why do I do the things of the spirit this easily? I want you to know it's something you can do. So you can start off and be talking about the financial statement in your home or at work. And you can go, ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. It's turning together for our good. So, you know, you can actually be cooking in the kitchen with your wife, right? And you're talking about something. And you can go, Baro Sinkele. Glory to God. There is, we are entering a new season as a family. Amen. Why? How is it easy for you to do? You have seen Pastor Dayo in the middle of a meeting, he just stops. He just says, O Karamana Hashudobolo Hodege. And he goes, can't you see the storm is over? Can't you see the storm is over? Didn't he say he will walk with you? Has he not now walked with you? So now, when you see something else coming, you laugh and say, no, I know the Father whom I believe will walk with me, would never leave me. I look back. So, the message to you right there that you are to listen and hear is that you should look back. For many are looking ahead and seeing the things ahead, and their heart is filled with trepidation. But God says, look back. Look back at my faithfulness. Remember how you took the first step, but you took it and you are now on the next step. Remember 10 years ago, I said I will bring you out of that stuff. I brought you out. I am the faithful one. You are to just believe in the performance of the faithful one. Amen. So that you realize that even where you are now, he will bring you through it. You will see how I will stop in the middle. You know, even my prayer, I pray intentionally that way. I pray so you can hear. I pray so that you can know it. I repeat the prayer so you can get what I'm saying. Amen. I can pray many, many ways. Father, now I just want you to bombard us with your glory. Overwhelm us with the goodness. Oh, slap us with your power. Pursue us with your mercy. I can pray like that. But I say, Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified. And your name is? Why is it when you are chanting it, I've done something to your mind in that you are now knowing that what we are about to enter, we have received wisdom and revelation in Jesus.
And the aim and the idea is that we hope to be edified. And that only Jesus will be glorified. Even the prayer is a teaching and an example. Guess what happened? Last week, Deacon Sadiq was praying. I was there. He said, Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are divided. Even he was laughing. I was laughing where I was. Why? That's how God, guess what's going to happen after? Someone listening to Deacon Sadiq will come and say, Father, we receive wisdom, revelation. Did not. Before you know it, we have a global country of people believing and receiving wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That is how change happens, and that is how God spreads.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So the local church spreads by active participation and active observation. In our family, there must be participation and observation. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Hey, we're about to run. Hallelujah. Look at it. Look at it. It says, neither has been Lord. God is saying you will not get. Are there ministers that act and operate as being lords? But God says you will, even when you get the result, you will not get the result how God intends it. You know, with God, results don't matter. With God, it is result his way. Should I say that again? Should I say that again? Man loves results. God loves result his way. Are you hearing? Are you hearing? Because if you are a result-oriented person, you can be deceived in the last days. Because the Bible says that people will come with lying signs and wonders to deceive many. Amen. What is God's way? Result, God's way. Amen. So, it's not a big deal that we got something. The question really is, did we go the route of God? Amen.
Amen.
God will tell Moses, hit a rock. He will hit the rock. The water come out? Yes. The second time, God will say to Moses, what? Speak to the rock. What did he do? He hit the rock. The water come out? Water came out, but later, when everybody had gone, what did Jesus say? What did God say? You did not glorify me in the presence of these people. Meaning that if I choose to live and lead by being a Lord and not an example, I will get many compliant people. But God will have through me, or I will have, using the name of Jesus, raised zombies. Not spiritually intelligent people. With spiritual intelligence, it's not force. With spiritual intelligence, it's example. So you observe. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. That's why we gather. The reason we gather is so that we can observe. So the point is, sister, your life is supposed to understand that brother Toby is looking at her to know what to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at it. It says, neither has been lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. So the point is, who are the people that will receive beautiful rewards from God? They were people who get, listen, they are people who get God's result, God's way. Amen. So in our kingdom, it's not just result, it is result God's way. And the process of it is local church where people will see examples. Who are the examples? Somebody will say the elders. But who are the real examples? The saints being an example to one another. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So, the point is, spiritual leadership is important to you for observation and manifestation. Praise the Lord. So, while it looks like I'm talking about the elders in church, I have been speaking about you. This is the reason why Paul will be the one to start to correct the problems that are in the Corinth church. Amen? Because, and he now tells them that Chloe was the one that spoke. Why did he do that? So they will know. This is the way to deal when issues. Are you getting the point? Church, are you getting the point? That is why Paul will make it very, very clear in 1 Corinthians. Look at it, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we start to round off now. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 14. I write not these things to shame you. Listen, when elders correct, the biblical correction, the aim of the correction, is it shame?
No.
No. Now, you must be, now a lot of ministers grow in these things. But the aim of God in correction is not shame. Even though to you it might look like I was shamed, you should understand it is not shame. Because now, Paul is writing. How many people know, for example, one of the cases he dealt with was that somebody was sleeping with the father's wife. How many people know that he mentioned it in the letter? And then the person that did it will have been in church. And the Bible says that they should read the letter publicly. So when he was saying there is somebody amongst you who is sleeping with his father's wife, Paul is saying, I am not writing that thing to shame you. So do you know that we can say something about a brother in the local church? In this local church, forget about these days of social media which we have to stream for the world. We actually mean say, brother, this person did this. That should not be done if he did it publicly. Are we trying to shame the brother or are we trying to correct a bad deed?
Correct.
That is why we must be spiritual. You know, a lot of these things we can't practice here because the saints have not got to that point. Amen?
Amen.
Church, amen? Is that, how can he talk to me that way? Who does he think that he is? The Bible says, in our kingdom, that's why you must understand church. It's a spiritual family. It says here, I didn't write it to shame you. I did not write to shame you. But, I want you to read it there. But as my, I want you to be in verse 14. But as my, I want you to put that, say beloved. So what do elders, or that you call spiritual fathers, what do they have for the saints?
Love.
Amen. People always say, no, you know what? In that local church, pastor, like Sister Yola, more than Sister Buki. That statement should be carnal. Let me tell you, whether you like it or not, ministers will have those that they work with more because of certain reasons. For example, I work with my deacons much more. You know, I was in a particular local church. Well, it happened, so I'll say it. A lady was angry. She said she's leaving the church. She's in the choir. Say, what happened? Say, pastor, when I'm giving real life names, because they are my daughters, they repented. When Sister Kofo is leading praise and worship, that's when you know that pastor has moves. I'm talking about a life situation. I'm not going to say, but when it's me, pastor will be doing two-step. You know, two-step. And she was angry. And you would think it doesn't happen. Amen. That should be carnal. Listen, whether you like it or not, did Jesus have three people he would go to the mountain with? If you are not part of the 10, God. Amen. You may make the 12. But did he have 12?
Yeah.
If you are not part of the 12, 10, God. Did he have 70? If you are not part of the 70, what's wrong? But 10, God. Did he, in the local church, did they have 150?
Yes.
That saw him. Yeah. The point is, take your place and take it happily. Stop waiting to look like the favorite. Amen. Amen. So he says there, I write unto you these things, not to shame you, but as beloved sons, I what? Warn you. What do leaders do? They write in love to warn. Amen. Church, amen. What should you learn amongst the saints? When somebody around you is doing something wrong, what do you do? You warn, you talk in love to warn. Amen. That is the way. It's not my business. It's not my business. You might even say, okay, I just came around. I'm not too familiar to this person. You tell somebody else. Thank you. Tell somebody else so that the person is able to take the warning to the other person. Amen. Church, amen. Meaning that in local church, you must be observant. You must want to know what's going on. Why is it that Uncle John always stands up? at this time. You must, don't just say, well. You must want to, is there a spiritual connotation? They must come and tell you, no, there is no spirit. He just likes to stand up when someone will just touch him. He is the one that will tell you, no. God doesn't, pastor doesn't wink me. Oh. Amen. You must want to know what's going on. You must be observant. So, okay, how does this happen? Praise God. Church, praise God. Amen. Praise God. Look at it. It says there, look at, I write to warn you. So, should you be anti-warning? So, it must mean that because you understand the framework, pastor, don't say, it's only pastor that can warn me. No, you're being carnal. Why? Because pastor wants to help you know that you can intermeddle in the life of another believer. Amen. It's just amen. Meaning, am I? You know, last week we said, is Sister Victoria's life our business? Let's say it again. Is Sister Victoria's life our business? Yeah. So, what does that mean? It means that if there is something we notice, are we able to talk to her? Does it need to get to pastor? No. Are we able to talk to her one-on-one and just say, yeah. The way the local church works by God. We conclude now. Look at the next one. Look at verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the... You know, there are some funny people that say, no, my father is dead. I mean spiritual father. The point is, you must first redefine who is a spiritual father. Spiritual father does not have your phone number. It's not a spiritual father. Amen. Praise God. Like, by privilege, myself and my wife, we have many people that are in our lives that the instructors, I can mention them on life, Andrew Womack, many of them, you know, that we go for their meetings. The instructor, every time I write a book, I go to give it to him and all of this kind of stuff. The instructors. But you know what? If there is fire on the mountain in my life, you know that nobody here will really call Andrew Womack. Hello, Dio. No, hello. Won't talk to you about Dio. No. He says, you have many instructors. There are many people you can listen to, but not many fathers. When you are in trouble, who do they call? When you are going haywire, who do they call? Who is the father? The father is the one that gives doctrinal persuasion. One, instruction, correction, and guardians. Amen. Chuck, amen. Amen. You don't have any spiritual father. That's a cue to be lawless. Because you don't, if you are, before you get married, ask the brother, who is the person we can call when your head goes on holiday? There will be somebody. Spiritual fatherhood is not a cult. It tells about a person whose doctrinal persuasion raised you, not just raised you, teaching you, correcting you, instructing you, committed to you. How many people have earthly fathers today that don't have their phone number, that don't know their birthday? This looks like physical things. Imagine you say you have a father. You say my dad doesn't know my birthday. Brad Toby, have you carried baby recently? Rocked baby. Have you gone to buy nappy recently? You are involved in their lives. Say, no, my spiritual. I'm saying they are involved. You honor them so that, like I said, there was a time we were, and I'll conclude with this. There was a time that we were in the midst of a revival in the city of Glasgow. Myself and my wife, the church was booming. Everything boom, everywhere. In those days, I used to go shopping because if I entered a particular shop, people would just, everybody around knew me. So my wife used to always get people to shop for me and all that. It was a proper revival. And then my spiritual leader calls me and says, a storm is coming. Ensure that your wife starts a major business because you people will need it. A storm is coming. I said, pastor, with all due respect, you need to log in into next week's service. I mean, last week, we were using wheelchair to play. Blind eyes, open us. I said, I know a storm is coming and it's very huge.
in my mind. See, let me tell you something. No matter how far you have gone, you need a leader. Because God will speak to them to aid you sometimes.
I was so caught up in the revival that I didn't see the storm coming. He said, a storm is coming. I can see a storm is coming.
I said, Pastor, leave that one. But because I honor him, I told my wife, you have to start business. She already said, oh, I've already started. I'm starting business. What was the business? I can say it. Pashmina business. Selling scarf. You will not believe it. Just a few months later, if not for Pashmina, we would have been begging on the streets. Before you know it, somebody just comes and says something. Before you know it, we are rendered like from a revival. But thank God. Thank God for Pashmina. The man of God that cannot enter a shopping mall. And everybody went, bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, he's the one that is entering shopping mall most. That nobody knows. In another city. Because he's been sent out of town. And we didn't kill anybody. But that's what storms do. Now, I enter Tesco. I go, in Glasgow, I couldn't then. It's so embarrassing. I want to go and buy suits. No, I pay for you. I just, this is the last time I'm going shopping. I don't like the embarrassment I face there. Today, if I stay at TK Maxx for 4 hours, they will think I'm a storekeeper. But my leader saw it and told me. And then I was able to take dressing. Even though I was not too sure what he was talking about. But because he's my leader and I was trained to honor, I did what he said. Because God never leaves us desolate. He has order. There will be just simple spiritual instructions that will bail you out. You know what I'm talking about now? Simple. It doesn't have to look like it. Sometimes it will even sometimes look like a joke. It doesn't look like. And that's just the game changer. It's how God orders things. It's his style, it's his system. I am saying to you, God uses us one. If a brother in the local church, bro, sister, I'm trying to just, something is telling me don't fly. Bro, don't fly. Don't take that trip. Why? She gains nothing from you if you fly. But what they told you. Let's rise upon our feet.